On this week's show, National Democrats suffer a setback in their efforts to turn Texas blue. We'll also hear about local officials fighting against Governor Abbott on refugees. And we'll also touch base with Kerry Cheshire about Texans for Fiscal Responsibility's new endorsements. In our interview this week, we talked to Bunny Pounds of Christians Engaged, a new project out to inspire churchgoers to be more involved. And we'll close with a commentary from Empower Texan CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan. Welcome, friends, back to Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald, coming to you from the 1836 studios in Austin, Texas. You can follow me on social media at TweetTonyMac. You can find us on the web at www.texasscorecard.com. Get started with this week's news. I've got Brandon Walton's managing editor for Texas Scorecard.
Hello.
The big story up this week is Democrats suffering a big defeat
in a
special election. Tell us about it.
Not a good week, right? If you're a Democrat in Texas or really anywhere in the country, right, that had any expectation.
It may never be a good week if you're a Democrat.
That may be true, but especially if you're somebody, a Democrat, who thinks that Texas has a chance, a real chance at turning blue in these November elections. What you had this week was you had some special elections, but particularly you had one special election runoff for a Texas House seat, okay? Usually would not be a big deal.
These kind of interim special elections, big snooze fest, but it was kind of made into a big deal.
It was made into a big deal. You have this seat in Fort Bend County, so just outside, sort of a suburban area outside of Houston, and Democrats looked at this race and they said, well, look, if we're going to take back the Texas House in November, we've got to win some of these suburban districts. We think this is an opportunity to do so. In 2018, I think the Republican won by eight points. It's 54.
It was a 54%.
Yeah. And so they looked at this and they started spending money. And I mean, it was a big race. So you had this Democrat, her name was Elise Markowitz, running against a Republican, Gary Gates, raising, you know, almost $1 million, right? And not only is it a money race here, but you've also had national figures, people like Beto O'Rourke. You had Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Michael Bloomberg. I mean, these guys.
It was the whole clown car.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you had a lot of coverage of this where it's like, oh, you know, Beto's firing up the grassroots block walking machine. He's hitting the doors down here in this district. This is the chance for Democrats to flip a, you know, what was previously assumed to be a solidly Republican seat. And then they go, okay, now maybe we can get this thing. Tell us what happened.
Well, didn't go according to their plan, that's for sure, okay? So despite spending all this money and despite having these national Democrat groups and figures and politicians come in and try to take over this Texas House seat, the Republican ended up winning, I believe it was 58-42, okay? So actually increased that margin over 2018. And, you know, it's very, very funny to see, you know, in the days prior to the election, you had a lot of predictions from the media about how this was going to be. You know, they kept referring to it. This is a bellwether for Democrats in November. Of course, as soon as the returns started to come in last night, you saw a lot of just, you know, yet another example, right, of maybe how dishonest a lot of the traditional media is. But, you know, it's a very interesting thing to see here, especially if you're looking at the Texas legislature and Democrats' attempts to take it back, because it's no doubt that they want to take it back. Okay, you've got redistricting coming up, which is very important in the next cycle. And so if you're a Democrat, though, right now, you got to be thinking the path to victory is going to look a lot harder in November.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're not going to stop. I mean, it's not going away, but they don't have the shot in the arm that a victory in this race would have been. Thanks for your reporting on it.
No problem.
Next, let's turn and talk to Robert Montoya up in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. A couple of weeks ago, we covered on the program that Governor Abbott is out with an order saying that Texas is opting out of federal refugee resettlement programs, saying that Texas has carried enough of a burden on securing the border and handling immigration-related issues. And very swiftly, that drew an order from a federal judge in Maryland, of all places, trying to stop the state of Texas from opting out of the program, which is very interesting. Now, Robert, there's a situation going on in Tarrant County where local government officials there are saying, hey, we're kind of betting that this federal judge up in Maryland is right, and we want in on the program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so shortly before the judge actually issued that, Tarrant County Commissioner's Court had a meeting, and they voted on, and it was a unanimous vote saying, you know what, we're going to defy Governor Abbott. We want to bring in more refugees into our county. So, you know, federal government, if you want to keep saying them, keep sending them.
Yeah, and this was interesting. You kind of had Democrats who were, you know, talking in terms of, oh, it's a nice thing to do, and we need to do this, and blah, blah, blah. But the Republicans kind of buying in on the program as well.
Yeah, so it was actually very interesting, the two different arguments. You know, the Tarrant County Republican judge, Glenn Whitley, he was taking the aspect of, well, if we don't do something at this point in time, this is a quote from him, it particularly could exclude Tarrant County from being eligible to receive refugees. So the Republicans on the court, which it's three Republicans, two Democrats, they're taking the aspect of, well, we're doing this as a preventive measure in case this doesn't go Abbott's way. But the two Democrats, Roy Charles Brooks and Devin Allen, you know, they were doing the typical, you know, humanitarian argument. But Commissioner Brooks said something very interesting in his argument. He said, quote, we need those federal dollars. And he was talking an aspect of they need federal dollars to help take care of the refugees that are already in Tarrant County. But that kind of raises a question, like, is this really about trying to help people in need, or is this the county trying to get federal tax dollars?
Yeah, and that's something that's kind of been missed in this calculation. These programs always come with certain funding, and so these local governments go, oh, well, we've got to keep suckling, you know, up those federal dollars, and that's kind of the subtext of everything that's going on.
Yeah, it is, and you know, it just really, it's unfortunate. Ever since I've come into politics, I've learned that if you want to know, not in every situation, but sadly it seems like in too many situations, if you want to know what motivates politicians, it's three words, follow the money. And it's very sad to say, but it appears that could be the case in this situation.
Yeah, well, very interesting. We'll keep an eye on what happens with Governor Abbott's order and the federal lawsuit there, which I believe Attorney General Paxton is litigating those issues to defend Abbott's decision. But obviously, folks need to be talking to their local government officials of whether they're going to try and defy the governor or not. We're certainly seeing that in Tarrant County, and I expect we'll probably follow the money. We'll see it in other places in the state as well. Thanks for your reporting on that, Robert.
My pleasure.
Finally, let's turn and talk to Carrie Cheshire, Vice President for Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. If folks go to the Texas Scorecard website this week, they're going to be seeing a lot of endorsements that are being released. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, that's absolutely right, Tony. You know, we've got the Republican primary coming up on March 3rd. Also the Democrat primary, but if you're listening to this radio program, I don't imagine you're voting in that. as you can imagine, Texans for Fiscal Responsibility's endorsements are universally in the Republican primary. So that's where our attention is focused. And as we approach that, as we approach early voting coming in 2 weeks, we really are kind of rolling out our endorsements. We're also rolling out endorsements for a new project that you're actually heading up, Tony, Texans for Courageous Courts.
Yeah, so Texans for Courageous Courts. Fiscal response is it's our endorsements for judicial candidates. So fiscal responsibility being a virtue you might look for in a judicial candidate, but not probably not the chief virtue. So we asked ourselves, what are we looking for in judicial candidates? And the real answer is courage. Courage to be independent, courage to be accountable to voters, to actually answer questions about where they stand. So many judicial candidates, you know, flee whenever you see questions. And so we went through and interviewed a lot of candidates for that. So those endorsements coming out this week, but lots of endorsements from Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. What are the races that kind of have you excited?
Well, we have a lot of exciting races, Tony, but first I want to remind listeners what our process is, because, you know, there are a lot of organizations that kind of have a willy-nilly process. We actually have something that's very citizen-focused and candidate-focused. So every candidate that we endorse has to fill out a questionnaire, they have to interview with our staff, and then we solicit feedback on that candidate and their opponents from the actual constituents who live in their district. So it's only after they pass that kind of gauntlet that we're interested in endorsing them in their election. But you talk about what candidates we're excited about. First and foremost, at the top of the ballot is President Donald Trump. I think this is the first time in my lifetime, the first time in the lifetime of a lot of Republicans listening, that we get to vote for a Republican presidential candidate, a Republican president incumbent, that we don't have to hold our nose to vote for. Yeah. Someone who's actually kept their promises in Washington and done a good job. But then as you scroll down and you on the page, if you go to empowertexans.com/endorsements, you'll see an exciting congressional race with Chris Putnam challenging Kay Granger.
This is one of the hottest races in the country.
This is one of the hottest races in the country, and this is the first time that we as an organization have endorsed a challenger race to an incumbent congressman. As folks know, we started doing congressional endorsements 2 years ago. We're kind of ramping that up now. And Chris Putnam's a guy who's been a real deal conservative, who fought for conservative reform at the local level, got elected, did everything that he said he was going to do, enacted term limits, and went back. He's kind of the George Washington of Colleyville.
Well, and on the flip side of that, you have Kay Granger, a longtime incumbent congressman. You know, we talk about her on this program, sometimes call the Panther Island Project, this failed crony boondoggle in Fort Worth. It's Kay Granger's floating island is what I like to call it. So you have cronyism on the one hand and a local leader and reformer on the other. It's very interesting. Race.
Yeah, it's a clear choice between a citizen-focused conservative and a Washington swamp monster.
Yeah.
But scrolling down, another race that I think a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to is House District 92 in the Texas House, of course, the people who meet in Austin, not Washington, where Jeff Kasin is running to replace Jonathan Stickland in the Texas House. I think most people would agree that probably no one can exactly replace Jonathan Stickland, but he is going to take his seat in House District 92. He's been endorsed by Jonathan. He's been endorsed by us, Texas Right to Life, and other organizations. But this is a district where the establishment has always fought for control, and they're doing it right now.
Yeah, so you have former mayor there running, some other establishment characters. What are some other races that folks might be very interested to see?
Well, I think the big race that's on everybody's ballot, you know, besides President Donald Trump, is actually one that we're doing for Texans for Courageous Courts, where we have Gina Parker running against incumbent Judge Burt Richardson on the Criminal Court of Appeals. Of course, Tony, you know better than I do that Texas has two Supreme Courts.
Yes.
And so this is not the one that deals with a lot of the issues. This is the one that deals with, hopefully we'll never have to deal with you as a Texan.
Yeah, hopefully you won't, but you do want people who are committed and courageous in those positions, committed to justice, if you ever do end up at the Court of Criminal Appeals. Tell folks, how can they find out? I mean, there's lots of endorsements. Where do they go to actually see the endorsements in their area?
That's a great question, Tony. So listeners can go to empowertexans.com/endorsements to see our full list of endorsements. And then, of course, we've got endorsement articles and election coverage at texasscorecard.com.
Thanks for your work on that, Kerry.
Appreciate it, Tony. Thank you.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At texasscorecard.com or empowertexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's News Digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at empowertexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
Well, it's time for all Americans, particularly Christians, to get engaged in politics. We're getting into the 2020 elections, and it's our time to do our part to be involved. And so I wanted to talk to a new organization that's being started up called Christians Engaged. I've got Bunny Pounds with me. Bunny, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Tony, for having us. We're excited.
Yeah, so tell folks, what is this new organization? It's called Christians Engaged. Tell us what y'all are about.
Yeah, we are a Christian, nonpartisan, nonprofit, really called to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower the body of Christ at large to do three things. And when we talk about the body of Christ, we're talking about Protestants, Catholics. We don't care if you're Lutheran, Episcopal, Pentecostal, Baptist. We believe the church as one body needs to get engaged with our culture. And so we're calling the body of Christ at large to three things, which is prayer, to pray for our nation and our elected officials regularly. We have that kind of call in Romans 13 to pray for our government leaders. We're also calling the church to see the power of their vote, specifically voting in every election. Not just the general election when we're voting on a presidential candidate is important, but every election, whether it's your local city government or your constitutional amendment elections or primary elections, all those are important. And we as the body of Christ should have a voice in that and should be salt and light in our culture. And then the third thing we're communicating and educating people on is engagement. Engagement of their hearts. We're asking you to engage somewhere in the culture. That could be within the pro-life community. That could be with fighting against human trafficking. That could be getting involved with a political party or adopting a candidate or running for city council. Whatever that looks like to you, we want to help the ordinary believer connect with the awakening that's in their heart.
So you were making a really interesting point that these sound like relatively simple things, but if a person were to do these very simple things, they really would set themselves apart as a leader in their communities.
Absolutely. Yeah, they sound so simple that we don't do them, right? And we all live very, very busy lives. I mean, you have moms that are taking care of kids and people that are running businesses. And we have 1,000 soccer matches to go to, right? And we forget about the simple things of pausing and spending time with the Lord, praying for our nation until there's a crisis, right? We remember in a crisis, but average weekly taking time to pray for our elected officials is not in our mind. And then reminding ourselves, oh, it's a voting time. Well, I can't remember that it's time to vote. You know, we are developed tools to help and educate people on how biblical values connects to those simple things, but also to remind people, hey, it's time to vote now. Yeah. Time to really do research on your candidates and figure out how you as a believer can make a difference today.
Well, this is something that we're called to in the Bible is self-governance, that we run ourselves. Actually, it's very interesting. The Israelites, and we've talked about this on this show in various interviews, the Israelites said, hey, we want a king. And God warned them, you know, if you outsource your governance to someone else, if you say, look, I'm not going to take care of my own responsibilities, it ends up very, very poorly. All of your goods get taken from you. Your children get taken off into fighting wars and serve others and do things that are not for their own interest or for your family's interest. I mean, right. There's this warning very clearly in Scripture that we have to be responsible for taking care of our own lives, our own communities, and governing ourselves.
Yeah, the most holy thing is the family, our individual life, our community, our walk with the Lord. And, you know, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he said to take care of this garden, till the garden, you know, that he gave them authority over the animals, right? We have a mandate back from the beginning of time to subdue and take dominion and to be really ones that are creators, that are influencing the culture. And when the body of Christ takes their light and hides it under a bushel, or stays in their homes and says, oh, no, 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 I shouldn't be involved in my city. I shouldn't be involved in my state. We are really hiding our light, and then corruption really takes over the culture. Because who's going to rule then? The unrighteous. And in Proverbs it says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked are ruling, the people groan. So we have a mandate, a biblical mandate, to be involved in our culture and in government.
Well, let's talk first about this, you know, voting, because it's such a simple thing. But I think you've said that somewhere in the neighborhood, it's like if you voted in every election, prayed about the elections, you'd be a one percenter, basically, in terms of participation. What are some of those numbers on Christian involvement and participation in elections?
Yeah, well, the typical number is that 50% of the church is registered, and of that 50% that is registered to vote, only 50% of that actually show up. And then the percentage even goes further, where how many people are actually voting biblical values.
Sure.
George Barna, who's a renowned pollster, national pollster, wrote a book after the last presidential election called The Day Christians Changed America. And that book really outlines the power of 1 or 2% more, you know, values voters showing up at the polls voting for President Trump, and how that shifted the election in the battleground states. I did an article on our website about my city, the city of Garland. You have 230,000 people in my city. The last mayoral election that had a contested race, there were three people in the race, and only 5,400 people showed up at that city election. That's only 1.2%. And there's 130 churches in my city. One church that had 2,000 people could have taken that election. So we have power within the church that we're not even using. And the simple thing that we can do is show up at the polls and use our wisdom and discernment that I believe God's given us to elect the right people into office.
Yeah, it's amazing when people look at politics conventionally. They just assume that there's a certain group of people who will show up to vote, and then they target into that group, and it's kind of fighting over the same table scraps of voters. And if you have a group of people show up, it can completely change that calculation, you know, even just a handful, you know, a few hundred people in an election can totally change the dynamic if the election is going to be, you know, 50-50. Anyway, well, all of a sudden, this new group of people showing up with an informed, you know, being informed and knowing what's going on and having a value decision about who to support, it can completely change that. So let's talk a little bit about what people can be doing to actually lead and organize in their churches. A lot of folks, you know that, hey, look, okay, they know this stat. Lots of Christians are not registered to vote. Even if they are registered to vote, potentially they're not showing up to vote, or they're not showing up to vote in you know, anything other than maybe the November, you know, general presidential election. They're not showing up in all the other elections. But they go, hey, I'd like to do something about this, but isn't there some kind of rule? There's these tax rules, there's these other laws that stop churches from being involved in politics. That's somewhat of a misconception, right?
Oh, completely. You know, we have a responsibility as believers, and pastors have a responsibility to speak into the issues of our day. But we cower because of political correctness instead of using, you know, biblical courage to stand up and say, this is not right. Something here is not right. So, you know, we have all these ideas, separation of church and state, which is, you know, really was language used by the founding fathers to keep government from infringing on the rights of the church, not the other way around. We have a piece of paper called the Johnson Amendment that everybody's scared of, but that has never been enforced. If you talk to our friends at First Liberty, they'll tell you it's never been enforced. It won't be enforced. And reality is, pastors can speak into the issues of our day, and we can register people to vote. We can talk about voting. We can talk about political involvement, even from a biblical point of view. And all of that is A-okay. Pastors can even endorse candidates as their own individual person. You know, they probably just don't want to use church letterhead.
Well, and explicitly within churches, these are, you know, churches are considered 501c3 organizations, tax deductible, religious organizations. There is this Johnson Amendment that says, okay, you can't endorse candidates as an organization. Right. And again, that's really not been enforced. And, you know, if a preacher from the pulpit says, well, I think candidate A is a good guy, you know, I really almost would dare the IRS to try and, you know, come in and do something to the church because right. of that. There's so many First Amendment protections, both from freedom of religion and freedom of speech standpoint. But beyond that, it's explicitly clear that churches can work to register their members to vote, to encourage them yeah. to participate civically. All of these things are in the bright lines of stuff that's got a big thumbs up next to it.
And we underestimate the power of our own influence. Everybody has a network. Everybody has a community. And the power of an individual believer in a church going to their leadership and saying, guys, we need to do something in 2020. We need to have a voter registration drive. We need to have, you know, a speaker in like Bunny with Christians Engaged or Congressman Michael Cloud or Rafael Cruz or, you know, anybody that can speak on these issues and awaken people that we have to do something. Yeah. And there's easy steps for people to do. Again, praying, voting, and starting to engage wherever their heart, you know, carries them is the beginning point. And yeah. that's what we're calling the church to in this hour.
Well, and we're just, again, we're called to do this. This is not something that we get to choose. We are biblically mandated to govern our own lives. And that means
right.
Being leaders in our community. So it's something that we not just ought to do, or it's a good idea, but it's something we're literally called to do. Tell folks, we're running out of time. Tell folks who are listening, obviously Christians Engaged, new organization. Tell folks how they can connect and participate with the organization.
Yeah, our website is ChristiansEngaged.org. You can watch our story video that we have. You can volunteer with us. We're organizing by congressional districts around the state of Texas. We have incredible programs for pastors and churches. So we'd love to come in and help you, help people fulfill the call of God in their on their lives in these areas. So we have blogs and educational materials. So everything's at ChristiansEngaged.org. And take the pledge to pray, vote, and engage, and we'll help you do that in your life.
Well, it's great. It's something that it's important for all listeners to be doing their part. And then I just want to thank you for helping to organize them. Thank you for the good work you all are doing.
Thank you so much, Tony.
In this week's Texas Scorecard Radio commentary, Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan shares some words of caution about our responsibilities when we're gifted with great knowledge.
Uncle Ben, the erstwhile mentor to comic book hero Peter Parker, is credited with the oft-quoted line, "With great power comes great responsibility." With a Texas Scorecard Radio commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan. That sentiment inspired Peter Parker to become Spider-Man, but it can be easily understood as a curse, as the village of Corazon came to understand. What's left of Corazon are the remains of several basalt rock structures, including the synagogue. Corazon is a short hike from Capernaum, Jesus' base of ministry. The view of the Sea of Galilee is beautiful and breathtaking. Yet what they did not appreciate was the even more spectacular view they had of history. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke record Jesus' admonition to the people in the villages of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. These are places in which the residents had witnessed what Jesus himself described as, quote, mighty works, unquote, but nevertheless rejected him. They were given a front row seat to the performance of miracles, yet shrugged them off. With powerful knowledge comes great responsibility. Woe to you, Jesus said to them, adding that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for those places. As heirs in America to a biblically based system of self-governance, we have the highest standard of living in all of human history. We take for granted conveniences unimaginable just decades ago. Yet never in American history has the call for socialism and the tyranny to which it inevitably leads been louder. We are witnesses to the bounty the blessing of liberty can bring, but in our sloth we risk, like the people of Chorazin, shrugging it off and falling woefully away. When people in countries that have never known liberty make bad choices, it shouldn't surprise us. They don't know better. But we do. We have no excuses. We have been witnesses to mighty works. We have a responsibility to respond accordingly. I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan with a Texas Scorecard radio commentary.
Well, that's all I've got for you. Thanks for listening, and go check out those endorsements up at TexasScorecard.com.
Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at EmpowerTexans.com.